There was a church where the preacher and the song leader were not getting along. And so what happened is this began to spill over into the worship service. And one week, the preacher preached on commitment and how we should dedicate ourselves to service. And then the song leader led the song, "I Shall Not Be Moved." And then the next Sunday, the preacher preached on giving and how we should be gladly giving to the work of the Lord. And then the song leader led the song, "Jesus Paid It All." The next Sunday, the preacher preached on gossiping and how we should watch our tongues. And then the song leader led the song, "I Love to Tell the Story." The preacher became very disgusted over the situation, and the next Sunday he told the congregation he was considering resigning, and the song leader then led the song, "Oh, Why Not Tonight?" As it came to pass, the preacher resigned, and the next week informed the church that it was Jesus that had led him there, and it was Jesus that was taking him away, and the song leader then led the song, "What a Friend We Have in Jesus." Amen. I hope you don't feel that way this morning, but it is a humorous look at what happens sometimes in the church. So this morning we're going to talk about surrender. Surrender. It's funny, sometimes we go back and forth, and the pastor and the worship leader, they kind of had this little thing going on, neither one of them surrendering until, finally the pastor resigned. And humorous story, but it kind of begins to illustrate what we're going to get into today and surrendering our lives to God. And I had a brief video clip that I wanted to share, if you guys are ready in the back, and just to kind of set this up this morning. So if Kevin, if you're ready, go ahead and see. We like to think that we're smart, and my 5-year-old thinks that I'm the. Well, I'd like to say that my 5-year-old thinks that I'm the smartest man around, but he tells me every day that he thinks he's smarter than I am. And I don't know, but I do know I'm smarter than my 5-year-old. But we like to think that we know it all. We like to think that we have it all together and that we can rely on ourselves. I can make it through this. I can do this. And in reality, when left to ourselves and when left to our own devices, we screw it up all the time. All the time. And if we would just surrender to God and give it all to Him and say, "You know what, God, You know better than I do. You know the past, You know the present, and thank God You know the future. And so I'm gonna give it to You this morning. I'm gonna surrender my life to You this morning." And so that's what we're gonna talk about, surrendering to God. But what does that really mean, surrender to God? I mean, when we think about surrendering, I mean, it's not usually a good picture, is it? I mean, surrendering is often associated with, surrender in the name of the law. And if you're the one that they're saying that to, that's usually not going well for you. Have you ever been at the end of that? "Stop in the name of the law." Not good for you. And so surrender some usually means for us that it's not a good. In fact, it usually means that we're surrendering to another in battle. It means that we're giving up, that we've given up hope for victory. And so when we think of surrender, we generally see it as a bad thing. Well, surrendering means that I'm losing, that I'm not going to win. But it's important for us to kind of gain a spiritual perspective of what God wants for us in surrender. What does that mean, to surrender to God? Does it mean, as in the enemy giving up in battle, does it mean that we give up on victory in our lives? I don't think so. I mean, is God holding a gun to our heads and forcing Him to give everything that we have, kind of like a bandit or a mugger? I mean, and some people would paint that picture of God. That's who God is. God is holding a gun to my head, and if you don't just give Him everything right now, and if you really know God, though, then you know that's not who He is. That's not who He is. But you see, God wants the true character and the true nature of God is to have the best for us. Is to have the best in mind for us and to really lead us in a life that only He can, because He knows the map. He knows where we're going. And so surrender means to yield ownership or to relinquish control over what we consider ours, our property, our time, our rights. And when we surrender to God, what we're really doing is acknowledging that what we own actually belongs to Him. that He is the giver of all good things. And He is ultimately in control of everything, including our present situation. I mean, isn't it good to know that God is in control of your life right now? Amen? Man, the Bible says He holds all things together. Jesus Christ holds all things together, and that's good. So when we admit that He's in control of everything, surrendering to God allows us to let go of whatever it is that's holding us back from God's best for our lives. So by surrendering to God, whatever has kept us from wanting God's ways first. So if we surrender to Him, it takes away anything that's been holding us back in our lives. But surrender can be difficult, can't it? Amen. It is for me. You know, we tend to like to be in control of our lives. We like that. And you know, we like to be in control of things and know what's going to happen. And, you know, just recently in our trip down to Coker Creek, I like to be in control. I'm not going to lie. That's, you know, it's, I think everybody in one regard does. And so we're driving down to Tennessee, down to Coker Creek, and we reach this place called Mount Vernon, Kentucky, and, stopped for gas and needed to fuel up the vehicles, and Susan comes over to me and she says the van won't start. What is a youth trip without a van that breaks down? but you know, you're standing there and you know, thank God for people who are mechanically inclined. God did not give me that gift. I do not know how to fix an engine. I had a hard time fixing my lawnmower over this past weekend. It broke and so fixing a car, I had no idea. And we got a picture of, we had Steve Bricker and then Ed Sheldon's laying underneath the van, like banging things with the tire iron and trying to get this van fixed. And it was somewhere in that point, I sat there and I realized, you know what? I am not in control. I do not know what's going to go on. I don't know how we're going to get down the rest of the way to Tennessee. And you know what? Thank God that somebody came and we were able to get the van towed and it was able to get fixed. But man, you know, being out of control is difficult, but God works through our situations. God works through our circumstances if we're able to just surrender to Him. And sometimes, you know, we don't have that choice. Sometimes we just have to surrender because we don't have any other options. So I want to take a look at a story this morning in 2 Kings. And thank you, Jeremy, for reading that for us this morning. If you want to open up your Bible to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 7. 2 Kings, chapter 7. And we're going to take a look at this story this morning. It's kind of an obscure scripture that has a powerful message, I believe, this morning about surrendering our lives. Since Jeremy read it, I won't necessarily go through and read it again. But the gist of the story is you got these four lepers, and they're sitting at the entrance of the city gate, and they're like, "Well, we can go in where we'll die, or we can stay here where we'll die, or we can go over to the Arameans where we might die." So, I mean, all their choices kind of look a little bit bleak, in a sense, but it kind of gives us a picture, I think, of surrender this morning. And so what they do is the lepers show us three things this morning. There are three directions that we can possibly take in our spiritual lives. The first one is retreat. First R. If the four men with leprosy at the entrance of the city gate, they said to each other, "Why stay here until we die? If we say we'll go into the city, the famine is there and we will die." Their first option was, "Well, we'll retreat. We'll go back into the city." Because the lepers, because of their disease, were exiled outside the city. And so they weren't allowed inside the city. They kicked them out because leprosy is contagious. I don't know, I've never had it, but that's what they say. And so the lepers were kept outside of the city. And so their first option was to retreat back into the city. But there were serious consequences that awaited them if they did so. All right? And in the same way, this morning in our spiritual lives, there are serious consequences if we retreat. Or if we go backwards in our lives with Christ. The reason this is backwards if we retreat, what does that mean? It means we're relying on ourselves, doesn't it? If you go back to the way that things were before, if you go back to kind of what's comfortable. See, I believe that God is always calling us forward. I don't believe that God ever wants us to go back. I believe that He wants us to learn lessons, and I believe that He wants us to move on. and to grow and to mature in our lives as Christians. And so to go back is dangerous. Now, why? Because number one, there was famine back there. There was famine. It says, we're going to the city, the famine is there. If they were to go back, then they would find famine. And nothing can make our life more dry and unfulfilling than going backwards spiritually. Okay, it might feel safe for the moment, you know, but it's kind of like eating fast food. We ate fast food like all the way down to Coker Creek and all the way back. And, you know, sometimes when I go on youth trips, all I want to do is come home and just eat some home cooked food. I mean, have you ever had like has anybody ever eaten McDonald's 3 times in a day? Oh man, I tell you what, that'll wear on the inside. I'm glad there's at least one hand going up. That's happened to me before. And, you know, it might feel safe for the moment, but, you know, it might be comforting maybe, you know, like fast food's quick, it's easy, but man, it wears on you. And eventually, you know, you're looking for some good, solid, you know, wholesome home food cooking. So they went back into the city and they faced famine. And so they didn't want to go there. Number two, they also faced fatality, a spiritual death. For people who go backwards, if they go into the city, they're going to die because they were exiled from the city. So if they went back into the city, they were going to kill them. And so, you know, when we retreat in our spiritual lives, the result is spiritual death. Because if we're not moving forward, if we go backwards, we die. We retreat and we die because we're not growing. We're not maturing, and it becomes stale. And going back, really, what it means is that we're relying on what we've done before in our lives. Doesn't it? If we kind of retreat, it means we're kind of afraid to go into the future. But, you know, I was safe over here. I knew how things worked over here. And so I'm going to go back here, and I'm going to stay here because I know what worked before. And God says, you know, I know this way. I know that way, and I know I have better stuff for you over here. God knows that there's better stuff if we move on with Him. So if we don't trust God, then we end up retreating. But when we trust God and we surrender to God, and then that's when we get to the place where we begin to move forward. I believe that surrendering to God is denying myself and being obedient to Him. And that's where I believe the real excitement is. I believe that if we really want to come to a place in our life where we're excited about God and it's the place where we're growing in God and where we're moving forward and we're experiencing and we're saying, God, you know what? Build me, feed me, mature me. And it doesn't happen in the past, but it happens as we move forward. How do we retreat or how do we go backwards? What do I mean by that? Simple, we pick up old sins that we were previously forgiven of. Right? When we retreat, we kind of go back to the way that we used to be. We pick up old habits, right? How many of you have prayed and asked God to forgive you of a habit that you used to do or a sin that you used to have in your life? Okay, there's some honesty and some, you know. Yeah, and when we go backwards, how easy is it to pick up that sin again? The Bible says that the sin that so easily entangles our lives, sin is easy to pick up. We go backwards where we left that sin and we're going to pick it up again. And it begins to chip away at our lives. And God says, no, I don't. You got rid of that. Don't go back there. And so when we retreat, we pick up old sins. We pick up old habits. And we de-emphasize, you know, the importance of our personal devotion life. To retreat means to put God on the shelf. And so option number one for the lepers, to retreat back into the city, not such a good idea. So they look at option number two, which is to remain. Okay, well, we'll just stay right here. We'll just sit out at the outside of the city gate and stay right here. And what happens when you stay right here? What happens when you just stay right there? I believe apathy begins to set in. You're not moving forward. You're not moving backwards. You just stay right here. There was a story about a group of people that were living in the jungle, and they were given a sundial. It was a really nice looking sundial, and they regarded it as they wanted to kind of worship it in a sense, and so they wanted to keep it holy. So they built a house over it to keep it safe. They were given a sundial, so they built this house over it to keep it safe. And so, of course, this kept the sun away from it. And so they had rendered it useless by trying to protect it. And they honored the sundial, but they made it of no practical use. And that's how many people regard Christianity. It has become something that they have enclosed in the beautiful walls of the church with stained glass windows or cathedrals. But the problem is they've contained it into a building. They've contained it into a building. And I believe, you know, that they put God in a box. And we talked a little bit about this at camp over the week. That, you know, we put God in a box. And sometimes we put God in a big box. Sometimes we put God in a little box. But the problem is we try to put God in a box. What does that say about the God that we believe in? It says that He's what? Small. Containable. Not big. Not strong. If you can contain God, is He really God? If you can put something in a box and keep it there, is it really God? Is it really all-powerful, mighty creator of the universe? It's kind of like one of my favorite movies back when I was in high school, and it was kind of silly because I was a high schooler, but I loved the movie Aladdin. And, you know, everybody seen the Disney movie? And one of my favorite lines out of that movie is he got the genie, and he comes out of his little lamp and, you know, all powerful genie, and there's, you know, fireworks and, you know, boom, 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 boom. And then he goes right back into his little lamp and he's like, itty bitty living space. And, you know, if we can contain God, and He's not really God. He's not, my God's bigger than that. You can't contain my God. The God that I serve, He created the heavens and the earth. You can't contain Him. And that's the problem, is sometimes we want to contain God. And we can't do it. We can't put God in a box. In fact, the book of Isaiah says this in Isaiah chapter 55. Verse 9, it says, As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts higher than your thoughts. God is bigger. And we saw in the video at the beginning, you know, we think we're so smart. We think we're so smart, and sometimes we think that we're smarter than God. But we're not. We're not. In fact, you know, I think there's a lot of people that are walking around in the church today that have spiritual dirty diapers on. And they're, you know, and I think about that just because I have kids in diapers. But what I mean by that is they've not matured in their lives as Christians. You know, they believe that their God is in a box. They kind of just stay right where they are, and they don't mature in their lives in Christ. And their salvation experience kind of started and ended on one prayer. You know, dear Jesus, I'm a sinner. I believe that You're God. Forgive my sins. I ask You into my heart. And for some people, that's kind of just where it starts and that's where it ends. And they don't grow and they don't mature. And you see, I believe that God has so much greater for us, greater things for us. God wants to do things in our life that we can't even imagine. But when we've not surrendered our life, when we're doing things our own way, whether we're living, retreating in the past, or whether we're remaining where we are, I believe that that limits God in what He can do in our lives. I believe that that limit, we're not surrendered to Him. And so it limits us. And so we don't want to remain where we are. We don't want to retreat. We don't want to remain. Verses 4 and 8, here's what it says. Verses 4 through 8. So they say, so let's go over to the camp of the Arameans and surrender. And if they spare us, we live. And if they kill us, then we die. So at dusk, they went over to the camp and they reached the other camp. And here's what happened. God had sent the sound of chariots and horses. And so the Arameans got scared and they were like, oh, they must have hired this other king and to come in and drive us out. So they got scared, so they took off. And so here's, isn't that a beautiful picture? And so the lepers, I mean, they, in a sense, they just kind of threw their arms up, didn't they? They're like, well, if we retreat, we die. If we remain, we die. If we run, if we go, we might die. I don't know, let's just give up and go. This is our only chance. God is our only chance this morning. God is our only chance. We can't live in the past. we just die if we stay where we are. We don't mature, so we run. We run to the only chance we have. We run to the only chance we have, and that is a loving, mighty God who cared enough for us to send His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on a cross and was raised again for our sins. And we run to that this morning. We run to that and we surrender and we say, God, I can't do it on my own. So I'm going to run to You. Because I believe that You have the words of eternal life. And there's a story in the New Testament where, you know, the disciples said, well, where else would we go? People were deserting Jesus. They were leaving Him. And Jesus said to His disciples, well, aren't you guys going to take off too? Where else would we go, Lord? You have the words of eternal life. Where else can we go? We can't make it on our own. You can't make it to heaven on your own. But only through the saving power of Jesus Christ. So they took the path forward. They took the path of surrender. And they threw their arms up and they said, let's just go. And here's what they found. Number one, they found security. They found security in that place. The lepers weren't sure what the future was going to hold. And they took action and they took off and God intervened. God intervened. And I believe that surrendering to God in obedience means that you are right exactly in the place that God wants you to be. And there's no safer place than that. Have you ever been in a place where you weren't supposed to be? Has anybody ever been in a place where you weren't supposed to be? Yeah, my wife and I, we had moved to Washington, D.C. We lived outside of Washington in a little town called Vienna. It was a safe suburb of Washington. But I loved to go into the city. It was exciting to me, all the people and the monuments when we lived there that the president flew in his helicopter over my head and I was just excited about that. So one day I talked her into just going into the city. Let's go and let's drive around. Let's see what we can see. And so we're driving around and if you've ever been to Washington, D.C., they don't know how to make straight roads. Everything there is a curve, a twist, and all of a sudden you find yourself on a highway and you're like, how did I get on a highway? But you do if you know what I'm talking about if you've been there. And so we ended up on a highway one day and we're driving. I'm like, she's like, well, where are we going? And I don't know where we're going. Well, honey, and she kind of gets scared in the city sometimes. I didn't mean to tell that part. But so we got off on this highway. And so I'm like, well, I'm just going to get off and we'll turn around and we'll figure out how to get back into the city. So we got off the highway and we ended up in one of those neighborhoods where you look around and you're like, we're not supposed to be here. Have you been in one of those places? And so we're driving down this road and it's this somewhat scary looking neighborhood and I'm not your typical guy because I ask for directions. And so I pull off the road into this little parking lot next to this school with chain link fence like really high. The school has bars on the windows. And I roll down my window to ask this guy who's walking up to the car, where am I? And my wife's like, just go, just go, just go. And so I'm like, well, I'm going to ask him. No, I'm scared. Just go. And so we got back onto the road. We eventually made it back into the town, but we were definitely in one of those places where we weren't supposed to be there. But when you're in the will of God, when you've surrendered your life to God, and when you're in a place where you're saying, God, not my will, but Your will be done, then I can guarantee you in your life that you have found a safe place. And that's what the lepers found, is that they found a safe place. They found when they threw their arms up and they walked off into the place that God wanted them to be, God intervened, He took out they were gone. And they walk into this camp and there's nobody there. I mean, they were ready to give it up. We know if we go there, we die. If we go there, we die. If we go over here, we might die. All right. And we need to come to that place and allow us to be in a place where God can intervene in our lives. And so number one, they found security. There's a story about a lady, and she was crossing a boat in Lake Michigan. Crossing, and there was the lightning and it was thunder and it was making her very nervous. And she saw jagged rocks above the surface of the lake. And in fear, she asked the captain, she says, "Do you know where all the rocks are out in the lake?" And the captain replied, "Nope. Nope, but I know where it's safe. I know where it's safe." And as you sail through life, there's going to be lots of rocks that come up in our path. Sometimes we can see them and we know which ones to avoid, and other times they come as a surprise. The important thing to know, though, is that where it's safe, you need to know where it's safe. And Jesus knows the safe way. Jesus knows where it's safe, and so we need to follow Him. God will protect you. And that's a comforting place to be. In Christ, you'll also find strength. You'll also find strength. The lepers were fed as they went to where they were going. So not only found a safe place, but they found food. Food is good. And we find strength in God. And there's strength and confidence. I believe there's strength and confidence when somebody else is leading. It's comforting to be under authority. And when we know that we're following God and we know that our life is surrendered to God, and you can just walk and you can say, "Hey, you know what? I'm here because I know that God wants me here. I'm walking in the will of God. I know that God has called my wife and I to Grace Ministry Center. I can walk in confidence." If you don't like me, just take it up with Him. Right? Hopefully you like us. But, you know, when we're under authority, when we're walking in the will of God, when we're surrendered to God, then there's strength in that. It's important also that you understand that you find supply. They also found riches. Riches and blessings unlike they had ever experienced. It was basically the Arameans had just got up and left everything. And so they got a whole bunch of stuff. And when we walk in obedience to God, we experience the provision of God. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 4, verse 19, "My God shall supply all my needs." Anybody ever sing that song when you were a kid? I remember singing it. "And my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches and nobody else in glory." God, when we walk in God, when we walk surrendered to God, then He will provide. He will make provision for us. And it's not always as much as we want, but God supplies our needs. Lastly, they were clothed. Clothed. I have a hard time saying that. They were clothed. They also found things to clothe themselves with. God wants to wrap, and here's what I think. I think this is a spiritual thing, and I believe that God wants to clothe us with His Holy Spirit. He wants to wrap the robes of righteousness around us. And isn't that what God does in our salvation? Isn't that what God does? He wraps us up. He clothes us. He keeps us safe. He supplies our needs. He gives us strength. Gives us His holy power. Luke 24:49 says, "I'm going to send you what my Father has promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." One of the things we talked about at camp was we want the fire of God in our lives. Our whole theme was about being refined, and we talked about Elijah versus the 450 prophets of Baal, and we wanted to see the power of God, the fire of God come down in our lives. And I believe that we need that fire. We need that power from on high in our lives. And I believe that when we are surrendered to God, when we come to that place of surrender, then we're going to see that power. So we have three choices. We can retreat in our lives. We can go back. We can remain where we are and get spiritual dirty diapers. Or we can run. We can run to God. Surrender our lives to Him because He knows better of what's going on than what we do. And we can say, "God, I give You control of my life. I surrender the reins. I surrender the direction. I surrender my wants. I surrender my needs. And I believe, God, that You will take care of my life." See, I believe surrender really equals trust, doesn't it? Surrender really equals trust. When you trust someone, or when you have faith in someone, then you have no problem surrendering, do you? Okay. I believe that you are a good driver. I'm going to get in a vehicle with you and we'll drive wherever it is that you're going. You see, trust or faith in God is this. It's believing that God is who He says He is, and it's believing that He will do what it is that He says He will do. Isn't that really the foundational point where it comes down to in surrendering? Do you believe this morning that God is who He says He is? Or do you put Him in a box? Do you believe who He is? Do you believe that God is going to do what He says He's going to do? Do you believe that God really has your best, the best in mind for you? I think when we answer both of those questions, and if we can answer yes, and we come to a place where it should be easy for us to surrender to God. I believe that God is who He says He is. I believe that He's going to do what He says He's going to do. And that really comes, that is really authentic faith in our lives, when we really believe that about God. And so the question for you this morning is, where are you in your life? Do you really believe that God is who He says He is? Do you believe that He's going to do what He says He can do? Are you surrendered in your life to Him? Are you in that safe spot? Are you in the safe place? Or are you in a spot where you don't feel secure? Are you in a spot where you're trying to control your life? You're trying to pull the strings of the pup. You're trying to make things happen, and you're desperately trying to do everything. Today, run to God. Run to Him and surrender. And say, God, not my will, but yours. I don't know everything. But I know that you do. And I believe that you have the best mapped out for me. Let's pray this morning.